She's crazy. She's flipped tables. She has no joke. She's just crazy. I think the craziest thing about her is that she's actually flipped a table in front of someone, like an actual restaurant table. That girl's strong. But she has been in the news recently because her and her husband have been indicted on 39 counts of white collar crimes, assorted white collar crimes. She was indicted on, pay stubs, fraud, I think racketeering, money laundering, just the gamut, probably. I think she got it. Her and her husband are facing 50 years in jail. And they have three girls, and they're all under the age of 16, I think. The oldest maybe 14. And that's very scary. But she, Teresa, has been on out on in the media and on TV talking about how she's innocent, how she didn't do anything, and how the charges, how she will be, what's the word? She will be. She will get her justice. We'll just put it that way. And she was on the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion, and her cast member Caroline Manzo, who has been on the show just as long as Teresa, got into it pretty bad. And they've been up and down on the show. They're crazy. Caroline and Teresa are just two opposites, and Teresa is just very, I guess you would say, gaudy. She likes the nicer things in life. She likes to make sure that people know that she has things. And Caroline, kind of as she's portrayed in the show, kind of cares more about her immediate family, her son, her two sons, and her daughter and her husband. She really cares about that and just kind of keeping the peace. And Teresa was mad that Caroline called her superficial. And if you watch the show at all, Teresa just holds grudges for everything. She does every little thing. She thinks about everything and won't, it never takes it out of her mind, never forgives. And of course, she didn't forgive Caroline about being called superficial. And I think it's crazy because Teresa called, I mean, in the show, she talks about everybody. Everybody's everything. Everybody doing this, that, and the other with who, when, whatever. And she calls people names. She's really just not a nice person, and people have started to really hate her on the show. And she has I think part of it is because she has publicized her wealth so much. She is seen on the show in the first couple seasons counting out thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, $100 bills, so she can pay her movers. So because she just got a bunch of she spent like, I don't know, thousands and thousands of dollars on the furniture, and then she had to tip them, and so she tipped them a bunch too. And she just does this on camera, and she's just very out there with her money. And I don't personally like that. I think that if you have your money, you don't really want to show it off. And so she's been criticized for that, and now she's facing all these charges. So I mean, to me, it looks like she's kind of guilty. To me, it looks like she really was trying to work live up to this show that she or this image that she wanted to have to project and projected to be on the show so she could make money. Because what it looks like is that they were broke before they actually went on the show, and they needed money. And I think you get paid like God, I think you get paid like $10,000 an episode, and I think there's at least 9 or 10 episodes a show. So that's a good chunk of change for a woman. To with a family, I mean, maybe not everybody, but I could live on that. And then let's go on to the richest, since we're talking about money, the richest Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's probably the richest area code in America. And Lisa Vanderpump is probably one of the richest residents. She's on the show Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's also been on the show since it started, and she is a restaurateur. And she owns a lot of, she, I think she has a lot of steaks and wineries. She's just very into the wine, food, bar industry, trying to be up and coming on that. And she's obviously super rich. And I think that she hangs out with a lot of super rich people. So, but I like her. She's my favorite because she's, even though she, drives a Rolls Royce every day of her life and wakes up to tea being served by her maid. She is kind of funny, and she's down to earth, and she's not someone who totally always judges people, I think, and I also applaud that in somebody. But she's on the show, and one of her old friends, Brandy Glanville, she's been on the show, I think, for like 2 seasons now. She's been in the news because she, her, and her ex-husband cheated on her with Leanne Rimes, the country singer. But Lisa and Brandy were friends for the first couple seasons, and now they're in the headlines for fighting. They were fighting over Twitter, and yet a surprise. What a surprise. You all know how I feel about fighting on Twitter. How ridiculous can that be? I mean, that's like more chicken. Like, you can't even talk to the person face to face. Like, that's just, you have no cojones, as they say in New Mexico. Cojones. anyways, they're fighting on Twitter, Brandy and Lisa, because Twitter followers on the Bravo show and each person, they said that Lisa, Brandy, and Kyle Richards should all be on one of these shows called Watch What Happens Live, which is kind of like an after show on Bravo, and they just have different Bravo celebrities and actual celebrities on the show and just kind of chit-chat for a while. It's kind of like an after-hours kind of thing, so they encourage drinking if you're 21. So the Twitter followers suggested that they all do that, and Brandy responded in a really rude way, just saying, like, Lisa would never subject herself to that or something, just kind of putting Lisa up, saying Lisa's, like, thinks she's better than anybody else. She might be. She has a lot more money, and she definitely has a lot more class than a lot of women, especially on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but I don't know if she's better. And then the last Real Housewives from Beverly Hills as well. Well, it's also about Lisa. She's just all over the map for getting in fights with all these ladies. Everybody's mad at her. She was fighting with Adrian Maloof, who her family's from where I'm from, New Mexico. They own a lot of businesses out there, and they own the Sacramento Kings. And they also own, I think they own another sports team, but I know they own the Kings. Adrian and Lisa were fighting, and they hated each other through the show. Adrian actually quit the show because of Lisa and her feelings towards the rest of the cast members. But this past weekend, Adrian and Lisa were seen at the LA Fashion Magazine cover party on Wednesday night. Should read that better. And a source said that two women seemed to bury the hatchet and not at each other. They were seen taking pictures together and laughing, probably, you know, just to get everybody off their back and just to try to have a little bit less animosity toward each other in the press. But they fought all 3 seasons that they were together, and so now apparently they're all good. Whatever. They'll be fine no matter what. And we're going to go on to the Kardashians. Over the weekend, I had talked about a while ago that Bruce and Kris Jenner, that I thought that they had a really weird relationship, that they didn't really seem like they were married, and they didn't really... It seemed that they were living in different houses and that they basically didn't really have a relationship as husband and wife, that they were more business partners. And it kind of comes out in the news that they actually are more like business partners. Kris had confirmed in a couple magazines, because she can't just go to one magazine, she has to go to a couple, that they were not living, that they're living apart, and that there's no animosity between them, and they just want to stay strong for their family. Good for her. So excited. I mean, if anybody ever watched the show, you could tell that they were never together. And when they were together, all they did was fight. So, I mean, it didn't really come as a surprise. They were married for 22 years. That's a very long time in any marriage today, and even in celebrities, and especially for them too. I think they've been married a couple of times before as well, both of them. But their daughters, they have 2 daughters together, and it's Kendall and Kylie. They're in their teens. They're huge stars and like in the teenage era, I guess you would say. It seems that they're starting to take sides. It seems that they are starting to take Bruce's side a little bit. Kylie, or Kendall, I'm sorry, Instagrammed a picture saying that, kind of in support of Bruce, her dad. You know, she's a daddy's girl. Most daughters would do that. I don't know. It didn't really seem that the daughters were with Chris that much. So I don't know. It's just, that's interesting. And then on to Chris's daughter, Chloe. She's also been in the news a lot lately. She was seen, her and her husband are estranged, and they haven't seen each other or been seen together for months. And they were seen out last Tuesday, even though reports saying that they're probably going to get a divorce, that they've already kind of agreed to it, and that it's probably going to happen. And Lamar, though, I was reading in doing this report, was that he was really upset that Chloe's mom got a divorce because he thought that Chloe was going to follow in her mom's footsteps. You know, maybe her mom does have a power over her like that. I would hope not, but if it happens, maybe you shouldn't have been doing so much crack, man. I don't know. That's just my opinion on that. And then Chloe's not brother-in-law, but baby daddy-in-law, Kanye West, he was in the news this past weekend. I had reported a while ago that he was under or being had criminal charges brought against him from a paparazzi for I think it was simple assault or battery and attempted grand theft. Battery, not simple assault. Different, two different things. He basically, a photographer basically got up in his face and he took the camera out of the paparazzi's hands and tried to wrestle him to the ground. And Kanye came out saying that the reason he actually had done this was because he had just found out that his grandpa was dying. And, you know, that's always hard news for anyone to hear. And so he, right after he found this out, he was outside or a couple days later, whatever, and the paparazzi were in his face and he wasn't feeling it. And he feels like he's going on the record saying that he feels like they provoked it, that they really tried to get him to do something. And, you know, with his new baby going to be born in the next couple, or well, at this point, this was in July. In July. So his baby was born around then. You know, he probably had parental feelings kind of coming about, and he didn't feel that it was necessary to have somebody in his face like that, and he didn't want that to happen to his baby's mama or his new daughter. So he probably is starting to just get a little bit more possessive, as most parents I've heard do. I have no idea. I don't have kids, thank God. but so, yeah, he just basically kind of tried to give a reasoning for why he did it, and, you know, it's never good to do that, but I don't know. I'd still get pissed if someone put a camera in my face all the time, and if I asked them to stop and they didn't, I'd be so upset, let me tell you. All right, so I'm about ready to take a break. I'm going to come back, and we're going to do some little news, some things that are happening around the bay, and some major stuff going on in the world. All right, you're listening to Afternoons with Hartley D. I am Hartley D. Thank you so much.
We're lost in love.
And we're back. That was One Republic with Timberland, Marching On. I love that song. It kind of makes me just think about no matter what goes on in your life, you just got to keep marching on. Not to get, you know, too poetic over here, poetic justice. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a, I guess, a PSA. This week on campus at Dominican, at Guzman Hall 201, if you come from 4:30 to 5:45, you can get a free workshop on interviewing skills in Skype. You know how hard it is to get a job, and I hate interviews. I might actually go to this. I was thinking about it. I'm just talking about trying to find a new job. Maybe I should go to this, actually. I'll probably be there. But yeah, come there. Learn how to be good on an interview. Interviews are hard, and they're hard to impress people sometimes. So get some tips. And also Skype. I have no idea how to use Skype, so that's probably why I'm going to go. Anyways, so on to a little bit of more worldly news. I mean, I guess California worldly news. There was a salmonella outbreak. The LA Times is reporting that 278 people have been sickened by chicken infected with a strain of salmonella from one of the nation's top poultry providers, Foster Farms. Last Tuesday, the CDC said that 42% of the people sickened were hospitalized and that some of the strains reported were very immune to antibiotics. And if you have any idea what that means, they're in trouble. That means, first of all, they're going to be on a lot of antibiotics for a very long time, which is scary enough. Plus, if your body is infected with something that takes over, you can die no matter what it is. You can die from, if you don't have proper medical care and you get a cut on your leg and it's infected, you can die from that. It doesn't happen too much in the United States anymore, but in other countries it does because people don't have access to medical care. Anyways, Consumer Reports demanded a recall, but Foster Farms has yet to do so. They still haven't asked to have their chicken pulled off the shelves, but a lot of grocery stores across the country have decided to do that, just, you know, on good measure. But before this happened, I bought a box of one of these chickens. I usually get frozen patties. They're good for making quick meals. Well, not really quick. It takes a long time to cook, but, you know, healthier meals that don't require a lot of thought because I don't really know how to cook. I'm still trying to learn, but I still don't know. But I bought a box of these chickens, and the only reason I knew that it was the salmonella one was because I saw on the news that they did a report, like the little product ID. I ate a couple of these. Luckily, I haven't had any weird feelings. So I think I'm okay. I think I manage, but it was kind of gross. House Democrat leader Nancy Pelosi and the late former lady Miss Betty Ford were among 9 inductees honored today at the 24th Women's Hall of Fame ceremony. The award, which showcases the achievements and lives of American women in the arts, athletics, business, education, government, humanities, philanthropy, and science, is hosted biannually in Seneca Falls, New York, where the nation's first women's rights convention was held in 1848. Can you believe we've come along that way? Women go braless in the streets now. And in 1848, women couldn't even have a convention together. Ah. So nice. On the 165th anniversary of that convention, Pelosi was honored for her role in breaking the marble, quote-unquote, breaking the marble ceiling of the Capitol as the first female speaker of the House of Representatives and the first woman to lead a majority political party in Congress. Yeah, well, I don't know how good she's doing. Ford, who died in 2011, was introduced by friends and former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, also a former Hall inductee. Betty Ford's daughter accepted the medal in her mother's honor, and the inductees joined 247 other women have been honored since the hall was founded in 1969. Go ladies, take one for the team. What's up? In Bay Area news, police arrested a man named Ralph Groans, a 57-year-old transient who frequents the Lafayette area. This was in Lafayette. Sorry, I should have said that. Saturday, after he attempted to abduct an 8-year-old child near the city library, police began to search for a suspect, a dirty-looking suspect. That's how the parent described her. After a parent reported a man attempting to grab her child on Saturday morning, the parent fled the scene scared for her safety and her child's safety and quickly called the police, and Groan was arrested later that day without incident. At least 23 people have been killed by a cyclone that hit India earlier this morning. Officials say a mass evacuation says that mass evacuation orders given by the government may have spared millions of people. The storm destroyed tens of thousands of homes. So, I mean, as horrible as it is to say this, it's not awful that only, you know, hundreds of thousands of homes were destroyed and only 23 people actually died. And in India, which has such poverty and such massive overpopulation, it's, I mean, good for them. I mean, at least they're trying to do something about it. A 72-year-old hunter who spent 19 days stranded in the Mendocino National Forest is home safe today. Gene Penaflor was hunting with his friends last month when he got lost in heavy fog and stepped into a crevasse when he couldn't get out. He survived by eating snakes, lizards, and squirrels and made a makeshift blanket out of leaves. That is a ballsy dude. I cannot believe that. And he's 70. How old? 72. That is a strong-minded person. He also kept a fire going around the clock to signal rescue crews. A couple days ago, another hunter finally found him, and after a stay in the hospital, he's back home. At another campus around the bay, UC Berkeley, police are warning students and faculty to be on alert after two women reported being robbed on campus. One victim said the robber took her cell phone, and the other woman said a man with a gun took her purse. The suspect in the first robbery was described as an African-American, about 19 years old, 5'11", and about 170 pounds. The second suspect was described as an African-American as well, 30 to 35 years old, 5'10", 150 pounds, and authorities are urging anyone to come forward with information. That's scary. I know always on Dominican campus when I'm walking around, I never feel really that threatened, which I very much appreciate. Automakers expect to have a self-driving car on the road by 2020. Several car makers, including General Motors, Nissan, and Mercedes, say they have logged thousands of successful hours of cars being driven by themselves. But of course, before that can happen, you know, safety experts have to come in and test it because, you know, it's a little scary. I don't really think I trust this, to be honest. I can't really give my full control over to a machine, especially when I'm going 70 miles an hour. It's terrifying. Maybe on a train track. You know, on a train track, you're on a track. There's a very low probability that you're going to be hit by something unless some train tracker reporter guy is not doing his job. But on a street, it's different. There are crazy people out there. Crazy people. So I don't know how I feel about that, but that's kind of scary. But Mercedes does everything crazy. They always have the best of everything, so I bet they'll have that. Earlier this morning, shots were fired near 21st and Bartlett Street in San Francisco. Police say witnesses reported hearing 4 to 5 gunshots. When police arrived, they found a man face down in the street. He was pronounced dead at the scene. So that's it for, you know, some good old-fashioned news. We're going to go on to a story I heard over the weekend that I find really interesting. I'm really obsessed with murder mysteries. I love watching 48 Hours and 48 Hours Mysteries, 60 Minutes, all that stuff. Stories about people who kill other people kind of interest me. I've always been interested in it. I don't want to be a cop or a forensic scientist, but, you know, just hearing about the stories kind of interests me. But this is about, it's not really about murder. It's about kidnapping. Madeline McCain, she was a 3-year-old that in 2007 was vacationing with her parents in Portugal at a resort. And she disappeared out of nowhere. Her parents, when it first happened, her parents had said that they went to dinner with some friends. They left her in the hotel room to sleep because it was late at night, and, you know, kids can usually sleep generally if they're good. That's what you hope for in a child. So they left the daughter asleep, and when they got back, the daughter, Madeline, wasn't there. And it's been, so that was in 2007. It's been almost 6 years, something like that. And it's just come out. Her parents, of course, obviously haven't given up on her. They were at first the ones who were supposed to, or not supposed to, they were accused of actually killing her, or trying to kill her. But they were kind of cleared, and not kind of, they were cleared. And now it's the The British police have released two pictures, kind of 3D images of a man who is believed to be white. He's age between 20 and 40 years old, with short brown hair, of medium build, medium height, and clean shaven. And he's supposed to be a person of interest. It has been reported that the British police have actually 41 persons of interest, and 15 of them are British. And these people were all coincidentally in Portugal at the time. And the BBC crime show is releasing an episode tonight. It's probably already airing since it's different time zone in Britain. They're airing a story, or kind of a piece about Madeline, portraying Madeline, having an actress who looked like Madeline. They're just kind of releasing a reenactment, and they're trying to kind of humanize the victim. So hopefully maybe someone will come forward that saw her and knows more about her. Someone a while ago had come forward saying that they had seen her on a Mediterranean island this summer. So she would have been 9. A lot of people are speculating that she was a victim of sexual trafficking, human trafficking. And to be honest, I really wouldn't doubt it. This to me is my ultimate scary story in life. I would rather die than to be taken in a foreign country and sold into slavery. I like that movie Taken with Liam Neeson. Cannot watch that because I have just nightmares about that. But I really think that this is what happened to her, and they do think she's still alive. There hasn't been, her body's never showed up, so people really still think that she's alive. Just, you know, she's been with other people at this time, and nobody really knows why. But so the UK police have come up kind of with new evidence. They've kind of come back to the scene of the crime, kind of re-examine the evidence, and now they have a fresh timeline of events that they think actually something might have happened. They think that they can find her, so they're trying to have stories. They're trying to basically bring more awareness to her and hopefully find her, and I hope they really do. I feel really sorry for the family, for her. Can you imagine at 3 years old? At three, I don't remember much. I remember a lamp fell on me once, and I have a really bad burn, but that was the most traumatic thing for me. I don't think you can come back from this. And I just hope and pray that she's okay, and for her family, and hopefully whoever took her will pay the price and will serve their time. And I am going to take a break. Come right back. You are listening to Afternoons with Harley D. I'm Harley D on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in a few.
Empty in the valley of your heart, the sun it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I've seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck, and I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's cold again. To fill my time, you take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me at the truth which will refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post and block my ears. I can see where those endorphins through my tears, and know my cold despite my faults and despite my growing fears. But I won't let you choke on the noose around you.
And we're back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Afternoons with Harley D. Hello, hello. I am Harley D, your host. We've got a couple more minutes left in the show. So I wanted to get into a little bit of sports. My favorite topic to talk about because it's the only thing I can really could tell you anything about. No, I don't know about that. But anyways, so we're going to get into some news that happened in the sports world this past weekend. Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings son, two-year-old son, was killed, not by him, but by another guy who coincidentally his name is, his last name is Patterson. And Adrian's last name is Peterson. Could get a little conflicting. I don't know. I thought about that, but I don't think it really matters. Anyways, so this guy Patterson, he went to jail for basically beating Adrian Peterson's son to death. He called the cops. He was with Peterson's son because the mom of the child wasn't there, and he was looking after her, and something happened, and the child mysteriously sustained injuries that looked like a beating. He had head injuries that don't just happen when a child falls. Police and nursing staff always know what to look for. They're not stupid. They know when something is kind of fishy. And so the child, who they're not naming because of respect, he died on Friday. And Adrian Peterson, though he didn't really comment on the child's death, he didn't really divulge in how well he knew the child. A lot of reports saying that he had never even met the child, that the girl was some girl he just had an affair with. And you know how football players, well, not even football players, just athletes in general. It's well known that they're playboys. They got a girl in every port kind of a thing. But he didn't admit to this, but reports are saying that the girl never really told him or had just told him, or he wasn't really involved in the child's life, but the child died. So it's really awful. And the guy, I was reading on Radar Online that the guy, Patterson, he had an order of protection from a ex-girlfriend, where she also had a son, and he apparently thinks he can just reprimand any child. He spanked this kid so hard that she had to ice his butt, his little butt, because he had bruising and welting. It's pretty bad. I mean, it's pretty hard to do that to somebody, especially, and it's pretty awful to do it to somebody, a child. And I know children can be awful, but they can't be that bad. I mean, you want to beat some child like that and hurt them that much. And also, he has another order of protection, or he violated that order of protection. So he, as part of a plea deal, he was sentenced to 1 year in jail. But both of the charges were kind of suspended because he went to a domestic violence class. I just think that's crap. You can go to sit in a class for an hour and basically have your charges revoked for hurting a child. Like, I don't think going to one class will solve that. I think going to anger management, I think going maybe some sort of alcohol rehab, maybe something, some sort of rehab. I don't know. I don't know what his story is, but I'm just saying. Maybe some sort of behavioral modification program. How about we put it that way? In 2004, another woman asked for an order of protection from him as well. So this guy sounds like a psycho, and now he's going to jail. So I hope that he becomes somebody's Miss May. I hope somebody treats him real nice in jail. Let's just put it that way. And on to another team in the NFL, the Buccaneers. The reports were just released this morning that MRSA, which is a staph infection, a very serious staph infection, has been infected by three of the players. And with teams sharing such close quarters, you know, they're naked in there together, and they probably share the same showers, and they probably share the same soap. I wouldn't doubt it. They're boys. Boys aren't as clean as girls, and half the time girls aren't even clean. Anyways, so MRSA has infected three of the players of the Tampa Bay Bucks. And if you know anything about MRSA, it can be infected through open sores. Like if a girl goes to a salon, gets her nails done, she has a cut, and they use a tool that's dirty that has a bacteria on it, the bacteria can turn into a staph infection. And you are you are facing something that is very resistant to antibiotics. It's known as the superbug because it is resistant to several antibiotics. About in 1 in 3 people carry staph infections in their nose, and about 2 in 100 people carry MRSA strains. I used to work in a hospital. I drew blood for a long time. And if you get tested for a MRSA infection, it's not just getting your blood drawn. You have to have I think it was like almost a 10-inch Q-tip go all the way up your nasal cavity, all the way up. There's no stopping it. And they move it around a lot, and it feels like your brain is just being squeezed. It's the worst feeling ever. But that's what you have to do if you have that's how they find out about MRSA. So that's going around the NFL, you know, and the NFL's, what is it called? Their one buck place. That's what their team headquarters is called. I like that. And their training facility was sterilized, of course, because you can't be having NFL players, top athletes, practicing there. And there's MRSA going around. Gross. Anyways, so that's on to that's enough with football. We're gonna go on to baseball. And the A's lost this past week. They're out of the American League championships, and the Tigers were in, and they played the Boston Red Sox. And they played yesterday, Sunday, and the Detroit Tigers led by 5 all the way until the 6th inning. The bottom of the 8th, and the bases were loaded, and the Red Sox trailed 5-1. David Ortiz of the Red Sox hit a grand slam, and now it was tied 5-5. The Red Sox scored again, and then it was 6-5, and now the series moves to Detroit tomorrow. So they're 1-0, and that's cool, I guess. I don't know. Now it kind of sucks that the A's aren't in, but whatever. I guess that's cool. I'll go for the Red Sox. They kind of have not a good record when it comes to that. And today the Chicago Marathon started in Chicago. Security was tight for the Chicago Marathon, the first major world marathon held since the Boston bombings in April, and a record 40,000 runners from 120 countries took part in the race. Before the race, a moment of silence was observed before the starting horn to remember the 3 people killed and hundreds hurt in the Boston bombings. Uniformed and undercover officers, along with canine units, were stationed along the road, so they were not messing around. Runners were also told to carry everything in a see-through bag, and spectators were closely monitored, obviously. And in San Marin this past weekend, the Fries.com Open happened at the Coeur d'Aval Resort. It's a gorgeous golf resort. The Fries.com Open is part of the PGA tournament, but it's not really a major. Not a lot of players play in it, just because the FedEx has already been determined and the season kind of to most players is already over. But people that still want to get their chomps and their experience in playing it. So, but what I thought was funny was that I didn't know this month, I guess, is tarantula mating season in California, and there were videos of huge, like, laptop-sized tarantulas running around the course, and I just think that's so gross. Oh, my God. I couldn't even imagine. But Jimmy Walker won for the first time on the PGA Tour, and he's been playing in the PGA for 9 years. So he has never really been successful, but he just keeps at it, and it's good for him that he won finally. It's good practice. And on to Bay Area sports, the San Francisco 49ers continued their hot streak at the Candlestick against the Cardinals. The Niners scored first off, and then when Arizona was down by 6, the Niners didn't complete their play. Carson Palmer found the Cardinals, a QB, Carson Palmer. He found Larry Fitzgerald, probably the only mentionable person in the whole Cardinals offense. He ran for a 75-yard touchdown pass. And they made their field goal, so they took the lead 7-6. But the Niners basically pulled it out. In the fourth corner, the Niners were up by 2, and Kendall Hunter found his way into the end zone for a 6-yard rushing touchdown, and basically it was just over from there. The Niners won 32-20. Good for the Niners. They're just continuing it, killing it. And a player who is from the Niners but not playing with them right now, Aldon Smith. The San Francisco 49ers are reportedly not counting on linebacker Aldon Smith to return to the team this season. He was arrested last month on suspicion of DUI. And a couple days later, he took a voluntary leave of absence to go to rehab. It's probably a good idea. His PR people were probably like, you need to go. You need to get this over with. This is not what a NFL player needs to be doing. He's facing 3 felony charges of illegal possession of an assault weapon stemming from an August 2012 party at his house. The guy is also suing him, or a guy is also suing him because he says he got shot in the leg. So the Niners hope that Smith will return and hopefully actually be a contributing member of the team. It sucks. I hope he gets better. And on to the other part of the bay, the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders, played the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City this past weekend. It was a pretty good game. The Chiefs fans broke the Chiefs fans broke the record for the loudest stadium during the game. They broke it, the previous record that was set by the Niners and Seahawks fans this past season. The Raiders kind of, you know, they... It sucked. They lost again. It was just a tough loss. They just keep, it's just not good. They just keep, like, getting it and then losing it. And Terrell Pryor, like, threw for 3 interceptions, I think it was. So he after the game, he did come out and say that it was my fault. I'm taking all the blame. It's not anybody else's fault. So he accepted responsibility, and hopefully next week they'll win. I hope they win. I hope. The city of Oakland is also fighting, or not fighting, but they're trying to keep all their sports teams from leaving. They have almost all the sports teams there. Tomorrow, the city council is set to discuss a proposed Coliseum City, it's called. It calls for building a new stadium for the Raiders, the A's, and the Golden State Warriors. So that'd be a huge, huge situation over there. I think that'd be cool. The city officials are hopeful because some investment firms with, some deep pockets are interested. So I hope that works out. That'd be really cool to have kind of the whole situation, and then they won't be, like I talked about last week, the switching of the fields from the Raiders game to, or it's from the A's game to the Raiders game, which won't happen anymore, obviously, but, you know, it's always a pain in the butt for the beginning of the season. But so that's an interesting, cool kind of topic. I hope that actually does happen. But, you know, they're also trying to bring the Warriors over to the San Francisco side to be right by AT&T Park. And then the Niners are supposed to go down to Santa Clara. They're just messing up history over here. History. These people have played here forever and ever and ever, and they're moving them. Whatever. It's good for, I guess it's good for revenue, whatever city they're in. But that is it for me. I am going to get out of here. Thank you for listening to my show, Afternoons with Harley D, on radio.dominican.edu. I am Harley D. I hope you have a wonderful day and have a good week. Yeah.